Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Happy Saturday to you. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. And what it is somewhere in the world, that's what time it is. Good evening and welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, Michael Gay. And today is December the 10th, 2022. We have about, 15 more days. Before it's ho, 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 who would have known, ho, 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 yeah, Christmas, right? So as we get out there and holidays shop and everything, make sure you stay safe. We're going to be here live with you this evening and share with you some interesting stories. Of course, we're going to talk about some political news. We're going to talk about the Brittany Griner returning home. Some folks are very excited and happy about it, which anybody would be excited and happy about, their loved one coming home or someone coming home. But there are some people who think that, how politics work. And we're going to also talk about a case that's going on you guys probably forgot about. Atalina Jefferson, who was shot by a police officer a couple of years back. And now that case is actually going on. It started this week. Some individuals have testified. The individual who called the police in the first place, and the young man, the young child who testified just this week about what he saw. We're going to get into a lot of hot topics, a lot of interesting stories that's going on. And so I hope that you guys will sit back, listen in. And if you have any questions or comment, you can always call the number here to the show. The number is 516-531-9861. 516. That's 516-531-9861. And if you don't want to talk live on the air, that's fine. You can go to www.balltalkradio.com/TMGS. Again, it's www.balltalkradio.com/TMGS. So again, happy Saturday to you. I'm going to wait a minute and see if our co-hosts are going to be able to make it. I see one has just popped up on the board. So I'm doing something a little bit different I haven't done in a little while. I am using two computers. Yeah, I'm using two laptops. One's an HP, one's a Dell. And so I'm able to see both. I'm able to look at the show on each side. But see, what I think I'm going to try to test out, seeing if I can make the show move a little bit faster. And I'll explain that in a moment. Because one, I'm going to use to do the look up the research on the topics that we're going to talk about. But I'm able to go ahead and bring up the music faster, the sound bites, the clips and everything. Because see, with Blog Talk, when you're playing something, once you do that, you got to scroll, find the next thing, you know what I mean, in order to play. But with using two, I'm able to have it already set up, right, and get to it quickly. So trying to save time, all right? So without further ado, let me open up the mic to the lady of the house, the one, the only. Yes, you all know who I'm talking about. Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Hey, Janet, how you doing? Happy Saturday.
I started not to say.
You there? I know. All right. You know, it's so funny when I open up your mic, I see a secret squirrel. You know, that term came up a little bit ago or a while back on the Jay King Network. So I still use that because when you chime into our show with that 111, that lets me know I don't want Michael to know who the hell calling. I'm like, okay, cool. We'll find out. And they're waving their hand. But before I open up their mic or ask them who they are, Janet, how you doing? Happy Saturday. What's up with you?
Yeah, pretty good. Got a birthday coming up.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. Thank God. Yeah, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a blessing because I'm seeing where on social media a lot of folks who are having birthdays that are coming up. And, you know, of course, you see a lot with celebrities, your closest friends on social media, you see them, right, through Facebook and all that stuff. But certain celebrities, I'm like, wow, they're that old? And they're still. Smokey Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Smokey Robinson. This cat is still up there on the stage trying to grind like Smokey. Come on, bro. Just sit in the chair, my brother.
I saw on one of your posts where Derek Muhammad and O'Brien's birthday was this month also.
Yes, Derek Muhammad and in fact, they were back-to-back, one day behind each other. In fact, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Last weekend, I believe it was, there was this big concert here in Atlanta. Drew Hill was there. Oh, my God, a host of Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown was a headliner. And you know what? When I saw the clips, y'all can laugh and joke about Bobby, but Bobby brought it. He brought it. You know, when you would see him with New Edition and everything, and folks were making jokes about him where he can't move and everything, and him walking off the stage and this and the other, Bobby brought it. He brought a show. And there's a clip where Karen White shared on her. He's still kind of chunky. But, hey, look, the brother moving his weight. That's all that matters. And to be honest, I was really surprised because I saw a video clip of where he was doing his sound rehearsal, thanks to a friend of ours. But he shared a clip of where they were doing the sound check. And Bobby was in key and, you know, he was working with the background vocals and everything. And I'm like, okay, this should be interesting. But Karen got a hold of the mic Bobby gave her the mic to give a little chops out for that superwoman. The crowd went crazy. So, you know, it's fascinating to me of where when you look at these things, these artists are still on stage. They can still book an arena. They can still book an arena all together. Then they got to be, you know, just one person. You wouldn't book Bobby Brown by himself. But when you put all these, you know, legends on one stage and a night of great shows, great, you know, artists who really sing, that's awesome. That's truly awesome. And I look at let's think about this. New Kids on the Block and all of them, I've seen clips of them. Them cats sell out a whole arena. They bring a few other artists that were, you know, like maybe what you would call a one-hit wonder or maybe two or three hits, but they bring them with them. And they, you know, when they take their break, they put them on. And those songs were hits. You follow me?
Right.
So why not? And then when I heard one person tell me, you know, oh, well, they don't need to be performing no more. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Do you not understand that when artists like this get together, book a major arena, how much money that is for the economy, in a sense, for the city, because the arena is sold out. The parking guy is going to make money. The vendor is going to make money. It makes money. Yes.
Right.
You can say, well, you know, the promoters and everything, they're ripping the artist off. Look, if the artist signs the contract, he feels good with what he's getting paid for, well, damn it, let it be so. But look at those jobs
that, Michael,
that are being.
A lot of the artists are still making, you know, new songs. It's not like they're just doing repeats, you know. So that's a good thing.
Janet, let me tell you something what amazes me. You know, there's some folks who know what we do, right, with this show. They're like, have you ever had songs on your show? Have you had some? I'm like, no. These are the folks that we've had on the show. And I am definitely honored and blessed to have some of the most legendary people on this show. I mean, seriously, not just once, two and three times. You know, I'm really honored. And I want to continue to do this, you know, because I enjoy hearing them. I never claim to know everything at all. I love getting an education. That's what makes me move forward to keep doing what we're doing, right? But what really gets me is that there are some young folks now who are really interested, who are really learning. I have some folks, young folks who come to me and say, hey, I heard your show when you had such and such on and this, that, and the other. Like, I never knew that. I remember when my mom used to play that person's songs and this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? Everything comes to full circle at some point. It really does. It's just like a piano. A piano only has so many chords you can play on it, but there's millions of songs, and you would not. Many people don't understand out of the millions or billions of songs, many of them have the same chord structure or the same chord, but they're structured differently. See, only musicians know that. Only people who play music understand that, but the everyday person doesn't realize that. So the way that you take those so many chords and you structure them a certain way, is how your song becomes different and unique. That's just my opinion. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're going to get through the political aspect of things because I really want to touch on that first. Then we're going to get into the Brittany Griner release. Wow. The deal that was made, some people are saying, worst deal ever. So we'll get into that in a minute. Then we're going to look at the Atalana, I think I'm pronouncing her name right, Jefferson case. If you guys don't recall, that was the young lady who was babysitting, I believe it was her nephew, one night, and she heard a sound. She had access to a gun inside the residence. because someone called the police and said, I see this door open. There's a side of the story that a lot of people don't understand why the doors and windows were open. So we'll get into that story in a moment. But that case is happening right now on Court TV. And I want to let you guys that are listening know that, yes, I'm a Court TV fan because this is not a reality show. This is real. Their cameras are in there showing you real trials, real testimony, real convictions. I don't watch that fake, you know, NCI New York type shit. Excuse my language. I normally don't touch, right, Janet? But it just frustrates me that folks, you know, you go to work and be like, did you see NCI Miami? Did you see NCI LA? And I'm like, do you all really believe that bull? It's a TV show of entertainment. Watch Court TV. That's real crime. If you're into those type of things, watch what's really going on.
Man, watch the news.
Watch
real crime.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I understand folks who say, I don't trust the news. I don't like the news, you know, the media. And again, I always say, you know, when you say the media, you're always talking about the news. Look, music is media. Movies is the media. Television is the media. It's all the same. Do your research.
And you can't just be stuck on one news station. You got to research and
Correct.
Look at other avenues in order to really Correct. Get the gist of what the story is about.
Exactly.
Just don't look at anything.
And people
yeah.
don't do that. I am not a – I'm not a – I've been accused of being a CNN, you know, favorite and everything. No, I watch CNN. I watch MSNBC. I watch Fox. I watch OAN. I watch them all because I want to see what one is doing different than the other. When you
right.
got so much information out there, you can't just limit yourself to one source. It's just like if you ill, what do they tell you? Get a second opinion. You go to the doctor, people will say, that's what they told you? I think you need to get a second opinion. Same thing with the
mm-hmm.
media.
Right.
Get a second opinion.
Yeah, I look at news articles online and, you know, because I look at different publications, not just one thing. You know, besides looking at when I hear a story and I'm interested, I look at other things. You'd be amazed
mm-hmm.
that, you know, a lot of the stories are basically the same. They might just switch up just a little bit, but it's still got the same, you know, content. So, you know, when it's something that's way out there, far right or far left, I have to leave it alone because you know it's not
but
right.
But you know what I find really funny? You know what I find really funny? Sometimes that's intentional because,
yeah.
and I'm sure you've seen this, and I've seen it many times where all of a sudden that network will say, we are going to retract what was reported earlier. Now, come on now. You are telling the truth. MSNBC retracts this story because we come to find out that there was more information, so we are going to change this. But see, the person that read it the first time does not see the retraction. They don't read that part, right? They don't see it. They see the hot story and they run with it. To me, as I just said, and I know we're getting off base because we want to get through the political thing that happened with the not Donald Trump personally, but with his businesses. And we're going to talk about some other things that have happened politically, and then we're going to move on to our other topics. But all I'm saying is that don't think that every information that you get is just straight from the news.
Mm-hmm.
The information, the ball stuff that you can get is through your music. It's been going on. Through your TV shows. Do you know, I mean, I saw a thing of where the producers of certain hit TV shows say, we write based on what's happening right now. honestly. And if you look at, and if you follow these shows, they're almost on point. This is an hour show, people. 1 hour. You think you're going to solve a crime, a murder in 1 hour? I don't think so. But you're hooked to this. This is your entertainment. You rush home from work. Ooh, I got to see such and such. I got to see this, that, and the other. And they're going to give you a one-hour story of a murder. And you believe this is what real life is. I'm not saying everybody, but many people really do.
Or they have cliffhangers where they keep you on the edge of your seat so that you can tune in the next week.
I'm glad you said that. Cliffhangers. Tune in next week. Ooh, that's still going on. I think Roger killed her. Come on, y'all. It's a TV show. And you know what I thought about this, Janet? In reality, not every police officer deals with a murder every day.
Right.
It's impossible. If every month. If every year. He might deal with a shooting, an injured person, or a threat, but not a murder every day. Come on, y'all. Look at the reality. Officers deal with...
But you're talking about the shows that have, they say, homicide. So, yeah, they're going to deal with
the homicide shows. Right. And but, you know, there's a lot of them where, of course, yeah, there are murders. I take that back. I'm not saying that when you're dealing with officers who deal with just homicide, right, and they're still trying to solve a murder from a year ago, the TV makes you think that, oh, they solved it in 1 hour. That's not the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainment is entertainment. Reality is reality. We have to look at the difference, and we're not. There's a blurred line here among people, among kids, even adults. There's a blurred line.
Right.
So let me move on to our topics because we're way off topic there, but that's another show. We'll get back to that later. Jen, I want you to let us know something. Wow. The election, better yet, the runoff for the Senate here in Georgia came to an end finally, which many people said it should have never been a runoff. I agree, and I say that for a reason, but Warnock won over Walker. First of all, again, how do you feel about it even coming to a runoff and the response from the Republican Party of that loss? And I found some interesting facts about what had occurred during the runoff, but what do you think about it? Is that a plus?
Well,
a lot of folks are thinking that it's just a plus for Georgia, but it is it does make a difference for the United States in general as far as the Senate goes, right?
Well, yes, first of all, I don't feel this, it should have been as close of a race as it was, you know. I just think it's terrible when people think because a person is of the same color and they're a sports figure that you're going to just jump up and vote for that person, even though that person don't even have a clue about politics, you're going to vote for that person. You know, they need to give us more credit than that, you know.
True. And I'm sorry, I just want to quickly say this and I want you to finish. I see you guys on the board. I see some folks that are waving your hand. I'm going to open up your mics momentarily. Just make sure you don't have any background noise. And after Janet finished, I'm going to go down the board and let individuals go ahead and respond. Go ahead, Janet.
Yeah, so I just felt that the race should not have been as close as it happened. But, you know, even Walker's family, he got slack from his family after everything was said and done. You know, I think you need to vet a person a lot better, more than what they did with him, because he had too many skeletons in the closet. You know,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm just glad Walker didn't make it to the Senate, and I was glad that Warnock won, but I had a shock when Sinema decided to say she was going to change and be an independent. You know, so she didn't even give Warnock a week of happiness. You know, or the Democrat, the senators, you know, in the party.
Because
she jumped
up
and says now
she's,
yeah, you know, it was like the next day she decided she's going to be a independent.
Independent, uh-huh.
And we all know why.
Okay, so, I'm saying, yeah, I get it. I see what you're saying is that where it was just like she was waiting to see what the outcome was going to be in order for her to announce her decision, right?
Right, but people in Arizona said they voted her in and they can vote her out. And I think she did this because she knows there's more independents in Arizona than it is Democrats and Republicans. And so that's why she decided to switch. I don't think that's going to save her seat, you know.
But well, we'll have to see how that works out. Yeah. Well, I got some folks that are here on the board that are waving their hands up. I want to go ahead and open up their mics. I believe this is Cotton because I know her number had changed, and I just opened up her mic. Secret Squirrel, 1111111, and so forth. I see your hand is waved. I'm going to open up your mic after we say hello to Cotton. K.C. Kimmel.
Hey, Cotton.
Please listen to me.
Hey,
hey, KC,
so that's right. Hi, everybody.
How you doing, Cotton?
Great.
I'm good. I'm ready.
All right.
I'm ready to talk about Brittany. Were we talking about her today or no?
Yes, we are, but we're talking about the whole, we're doing our final thing on Herschel Walker and the main thing about the Senate race. We're getting through that. We're getting through our political part. But we're going to talk about the release of Brittany. All right. But do you have anything to say about that?
I was going to say, I heard that a lot of people were happy that he didn't win. So, you know, I felt like my instincts was right. I'm not there. I don't know a lot. But I was happy they didn't pick him.
Well, you know what, you know, and that's the thing that's so funny is that people don't understand is that where even though he would have been a senator for Georgia, his vote would have affected people in other states.
Yes, exactly.
His vote, see, that's the thing that people don't understand. When you're part of the Senate, it's not just where you're representing your state. You're representing many laws that will affect every state. I always try to tell folks, please, it's a comedy movie, but it's so interesting. Eddie Murphy did in this movie, and it's a movie called The Distinguished Gentleman. It's an old movie, and if you watch it, you laugh, but you'll learn something from it. That is still a reality today of how it works, how the whole system works. And, of course, Eddie comes out where he's trying to do the right thing and everything. I don't want to spoil it, but I recommend you watch this. I know it's a movie, but you watch TV shows, and you watch TV shows in 1 hour and think that that's the end of the crime. You know, the crime doesn't end in 1 hour. I'm telling you, watch this movie. You will laugh, but it will give you some insight. That's just my opinion. It's an old movie. And when I go back and look at it, I look at what's happening right now, and I'm like, hell, it's the same thing they're showing me in the movie. It doesn't change.
Well, Eddie, at first he was out to get a buck, to make some money. You know, he changed in the end, which is a good thing, you know. So you got a lot of politicians come in with all the right intentions and ended up, you know, doing something wrong in the end, the opposite.
Well, I chimed into a show earlier, which you guys know. And by the way, I chimed into a show earlier, which is Real and Raw. You guys know Mama D. I know, Janet, you know Mama D. You know Courtney.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and
it's
so,
Courtney.
Right. And Mama D. And I caught it towards the end. Mama D is going to be dealing with, from what I understand, a very serious operation or procedure this week. So keep her in prayer, everyone, please, that hear my voice. Keep her in prayer. You know, Mama D is awesome. She's been with the J. King Network, and that show has been a very great show. So do that. But the thing is that we're right in that movie, you know, he comes to find himself being caught in a situation. But what gets me is that we're here the Republican Party brings in a former football athlete who has documented things, you know, about his family. His own son does a social media post about how he feels about his dad. And they ignore that. And he doesn't really, he never did, in my opinion, when I look at it, address that. You know what? To me, I think honesty gets you further. But he denied the things that were documented.
Well, he says he's not a Christian.
I'm sorry?
So people change. He said he's a Christian. He believes in pro-life. He didn't believe in it before, but he believes in pro-life now, you know.
Okay, so how does that mind change some? Right. Okay, so that's my point. He believed in it before, but now he don't. Who changed his mind? And let's keep in mind that he moved from Texas, where he lived, back to Georgia to run for office. Who set that up? How does that come
about? Trump.
Okay.
That tells
you that certain individuals think that we are so stupid, meaning Republicans, and shout out to Republicans, to be honest. I'm not going to say just the Democrats that voted for Warnock. I'm going to say for the Republicans that didn't vote for Walker.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give them a shout out. Because how can you sit up here and make these folks, they're that stupid? Now, there were some that were. But come on now, man. But as they say, come on, man. You really think I'm going to put this guy in here and here's documented shit about what he did to his wife and this and that? Then they tried to throw that thing out there on Warnock saying that where he ran off his wife's foot, and there's documentation of where the paramedics that came there said there was no bruising on her foot.
Bruising? Her toes would have been smashed. It's a car, the weight of a car, you know?
I know.
Common sense.
Janet, this is what I looked at. This ain't no dark chocolate sister. This sister is light caramel color, right? She caramel color. The bruising will show. And I'm not trying to make this racial, but the thing is that when white folks get bruised,
my bruising show, you know.
Okay, right.
Very easy.
But if a tire ran over your foot, it's going to show, especially right after it happened. And when the paramedics showed up, they said, we did not see no broken bone. We did not find out if she had any broken toes or any. We didn't see any bruising. Okay, so that didn't work. Now, let me tell you guys something that was really interesting to me. approximately $81 million were spent on the runoff. Totally. That's both parties, according to what I read. $81 million in that short span of time of the general election between the two to the runoff. $81 million was spent. Who spent that? The donors.
Well, Walker didn't, he complained about not getting enough money from people who were promoting him. He was only getting a small percentage of whatever money was being raised. And I don't think that's fair either, you know?
That's not true. Walker got support from a large majority of the Republican Party. They
but he
wanted
said a certain percentage, off the dollar.
Okay, but again, I just want to say this because we have to move on. But I'm just saying there was $81 million spent on the runoff. Now, I can't do the breakdown. I don't know what the breakdown was between the two candidates, but that's a lot of money, okay? So, you know, $81 million for a short period of time, I should say, was spent on these two candidates for it to come out to where Warnock won, Walker lost. If I was a donor, I would be like, what the hell did I just lose? I would feel like a person who went to the crap table in Las Vegas. Like, I just took a chance on this guy who was talking about vampires, bulls, and werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
He did say that. I took a chance on him. I would want some money back. But anyway, that's the breakdown. That's the final thing we're going to say about the Georgia Senate race. Warnock won, and Georgia has two senators in Washington, two Democrat senators. Georgia has always been a red state, and this is something that is pretty much historical for the state of Georgia. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Let's see what happens next term. But in the meantime, that's what happens. I see 111 is sitting here, and they've been sitting by for a moment. So I'm going to go ahead and open up their mic and see who this is. 111,
hey.
Welcome to TMGS.
Good evening, y'all. How y'all doing?
Fine.
Great.
All right. Yeah, this is Naj, man. I'm actually in Georgia, but I'm on Skype.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Hello?
I didn't hear you clear.
Said I'm actually in Georgia, but I'm using Skype to call in.
Okay. Oh, so you're using Skype. And who is this again?
This is Naj.
Naj, what's up, brother? How you doing?
No, not much. Not much. Everything
okay.
Is good, man.
All right.
Beautiful
what's
situation?
Your comment on this conversation? I see you've been on the board.
Yeah. So, okay, first things first, remember, with the Herschel thing, this was not olive branch to black people. This was actually a way of them justifying getting some white conservatives to come out and vote where they could have the, you know, you could always have the backhanded thing of saying, well, we're clearly not racist. You see, we've nominated a black candidate. When ultimately, as you guys said, you know, this man wasn't qualified for anything like this, but they saw it as a free signing pen. You get a senator who will sign anything, doesn't understand any legislation, you get him to do whatever you want, which is why they were willing to spend that money during the election. Now, as far as it being a runoff, that part was kind of telling, but it tells you how historically red Georgia is and Stacey Abrams and her grassroots movement, which has kind of shifted Georgia to a purple stage, kind of lets you know how big this is. And, yeah,
that's
Crystal
right.
Cinema immediately becoming an independent, that's really, like, it's no surprise because, honestly, she's looking for private money. She's going to walk into lobbying, make a lot of money. And, you know, essentially it's the DNC's fault because they're so hard-pressed to fight against progressives and look for centrists that they didn't do the proper background on Cinema, who came into the Green Party early on and then came in as a Dem, and then we find out, oh, she's just here to slow the works, a la Jolie in the early 2000s. So, yeah, it's shameful stuff going on. But, yeah, it's sad to see Herschel go out like this, because that brother, there's no telling what type of CTE or damage he suffered from playing football all of those years. And they just march him out there, tell him to say anything, and then people were willing to vote for it, which is kind of a despicable thing. But it is what it is. Shout out to Brother Warnock. Ebenezer Baptist, that black radical tradition still rings true. And
Amen.
Imagine that.
Yeah, you know what? To me, I have to go back in time in a sense, okay? When I saw where, you know, here you got Warnock, a minister, versus a black minister, as you just said, from the Ebenezer Baptist Church, the home of the King family, right? Go up against a former football player who's black. And I was like, wow. For the Republican side, that really surprised me. I'm going to be honest, because I thought that if anything, it would have been a white person. I'm just being honest. With a lot of political background and a lot of political followers. Just let me finish. Sorry. That's what I thought. But when I looked at it and I was thinking, oh, okay, I see what they're trying to do. You follow me? But there's so many other Republican, more political, I guess I should say, educated individuals they could have picked. Plenty others they could have picked to go against Warnock, but they went with the athlete. They thought that would work. Am I right or wrong?
A lot of this,
though, is the remnants of Trumpism, where they thought Trump would be the kingmaker during this, during these elections, these midterms, and his say was going to drive his base. And because of that, because they were scared of him and his base, they were willing to coalesce and go ahead and bring on Herschel, who lives in Texas, not Georgia, mind you. And that's why they went forward with it. So now with all these losses for Trump, appointed candidates in the midterms, you wonder if that Trump kingmaker thing was all a farce anyway. Like, it was never true because they actually couldn't get the numbers out.
Right. But can I say something?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, they did with Walker like they did with Kanye West when Biden and Trump was campaigning and running against each other. You know, they seem to think because somebody is an artist or a star and they're black that everybody's going to just run towards that person, you know, and not think about what that person really stands for. Kanye West didn't have a thing, didn't know anything about politics at the time, but they had him on the ticket in several states to try to siphon votes away from Biden. They need to throw that playbook out because it's not working.
Right. Go ahead, sir. No, I was just going to say, it bites back on them even worse because you go back to that 2020 election, what you find out is the person who would be willing to vote for Kanye was young, white, eligible voters who were big Kanye fans, who were willing to say, okay, I'll just vote for as a laugh. So they were actually hurting their own base with running him. So, you know what I mean? Like, this gets to the twilight zone for a certain part of Republicanism, because think about this. No matter what anybody says about stop the steal or whatever other thing they're yelling about elections, when you tell your base that the elections are false and people are cheating, you actually discourage your own side from showing up for you. So
that's right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I have to say something that's funny that came to my mind. I remember a comedy skit that Eddie Murphy did years ago. And you guys are old enough, I think. Janet, I think you are. But he was saying a skit about voting, and he said something about, you know, country, racial, white guys go to the polls and say, let's vote for Jesse Jackson, you know, back when Jesse ran for president. You know, when black folks said, Jesse, you can win. Okay, y'all ever seen that skit? If you haven't, I'll tell you what was so funny is that where in the skit he says, the white guys, you know, say, I just voted for Jesse Jackson. They laugh and everything. And the next day, like, he freaking won, you know, by accident. They're doing it as a fun, as a joke. So my point is this, is that where, right, that's what happens. There's individuals who will vote for people or individuals nowadays. And what it does, it really messes up the main parties, the Republican and the Democrat. You're voting for an individual who is not part of either party, which that happens even in your Senate races. You see names that pop up you never heard of, right? They're mm-hmm. running for office. But they're not in the news. You'd never see an interview with them. I have never seen an interview with the guy who has 4%. I've never seen it of the vote. And you know, they talk about the main ones. But I saw in this Senate race, there was another individual. I can't even recall his name. But he's running. He's getting political money, right? So that takes right. away. So we need to look
yeah,
into
that
this.
That was
whole
the
thing.
Libertarian Party in Georgia. And of course, that cut mm-hmm. into Walker's votes because mm-hmm. the Libertarian be a former Republican.
Right. So that shows where it can hurt, right? So the Republican Party hasn't figured out how to make things, I guess the best way I can say it is make peace with the libertarians in order to get those votes. Now, if you do the math, it might have made a difference, right? As mm-hmm. the libertarians went, if you could have convinced the libertarians to go Republican based on the politics and based on the whole thing. And again, I look at it where what's so sad about our election process is that we're spending too much time hearing personal attacks, not what is going to happen or what they're doing for the people or what they will do. Warnock has been actually, you know, we all know that how he got into office in the first place. And then here he has to go and run against a person and then another runoff again. But there's nothing being discussed about what they're going to do. Warnock had to go on what he's done since he's been in office and then his attacks on Walker, which I don't blame him. You have to attack a person who's attacking you. But unfortunately, that's what politics are now. Attack, attack, attack. But they're not discussing or sharing with the voters what you're going to really do for us. Correct me if I'm freaking wrong.
I beg to differ. When it comes to the Democrats, okay. they do have a platform, and they do tell people what they have done. Not enough, but they tell people what they have done and what they're trying to do.
I'm talking about – no, but Janet, all due respect, I'm saying when it comes to a election and when you're going against – when it comes down to – of course, we have where party versus party, right? This Democrat thinks he can do better than that Democrat. They're chosen, right? That's the process. Then you got to go up against the Republican. Now this Republican says, well, the Democrats are doing this, and the Republican, the Democrat says this and the other. And then all of a sudden it comes down to dirty politics where you start throwing out stuff about their personal lives. I don't want to hear your personal life. I mean, there's a lot that's documented. I can go ahead and look at it. I can look at the court cases of what you've been convicted or charged of and everything. But I want to hear what can you do for us as your constituents. And see, we get away from all that. You understand me? If you look at, I'm sure you do, but that's where it comes down to of who's the good guy and the bad guy based on their personal lives is what people are talking about more so than what they're doing.
For the past few years, the Republicans have not had a platform to run on. All they want to do is point a finger at what somebody else is doing. But as far as saying what they can do, they're not doing it. It's just like they did get the House by a slim margin, but now all they want to do is have hearings. That's what they did before when Trump was in office. They just had hearings. Benghazi.
But nothing else. But Janet, and I agree with you to a certain extent, and we're going to move on to the next topic, but both parties are doing nothing but hearings. And I think it's important because the thing is that where the American public should know the truth about what happened on January 6th. We need to know who was behind the whole thing. We have to know.
But they didn't just do the hearing, Michael. They've been passing things that are helping people that are middle income, less fortunate, low income. Mm-hmm. They're not just talking
about
that January 6th hearing.
Okay. Okay.
No.
Well,
I think what you're saying is important. So the Biden legacy is tied to what? The child tax credit that they had in the infant meal, the idea of stimulus during the end of the pandemic, some of the things that they were doing. And the Republican side is basically the Dems have moved so far to the right that the Republicans don't have much room to operate, so everything is culture war stuff. So whatever newest, latest buzzword thing that's happening on Twitter and Facebook, that's the thing that they're going to continue to drive their base on. So we'll hear about trans issues. We'll hear about whatever happens in the school. We'll hear about Dr. Seuss or whatever, you know, new Fox thing is going on that's been popular.
Right,
and that's how
right.
they'll drive their base. But the tough part about it is this is kind of how society has moved. And I'll give you a quick example and get out your way. I know y'all got a full show to do. So you go to Facebook, your friend posts a picture in their shirt, a blue shirt. Somebody says, hey, that's a nice shirt. That comment moves on. Another person comes in and says, you can't fit that shirt. I don't know why you would wear that. That shirt is terrible. So 30 people comment on the negative comment, either responding, agreeing with it or saying that person is ridiculous or whatever, but it drives the traffic. And political campaigns understand this well. So instead of having a platform, you just say, he voted with Biden 99% of the time. And then you say, okay, well, what did he vote with Biden on? That's the important thing there. Not whether you buy it, but as a political talking point, it works because it gets your base to say, yeah, he's with Biden, and we're not. So, you know, like I said, you both are right, but this is a difficult time, and 30 years from now, people ain't going to believe some of the stuff we saw. But y'all have a good night, and thanks for letting me on.
So I appreciate you joining us. I hate that you're going to leave us. Love for you to hang out for a little bit because we're going to – change course here in our conversation as usual. We have a variety of topics that we try to touch on every Saturday here because we look at what's happening during the week. Wow. Well, to close that segment out. Mr. Walker, next time you try to run for office, okay, Be aware. I've seen some of the stuff that pop up that has tickled the crap out of me, where they show Walker and Trump walking across the grass, and Trump looks back at him, said, you had them until you started talking about vampires and shit. Quote, that's what it says, okay? But before the vampire part, he was talking about bulls and what else, Janet? He was talking about bulls and
breeding cows. Yeah, bulls.
Vampires and werewolves. So nothing about what the people wanted to hear. Interesting. Thank goodness it's all over with. So. Brittany Griner has been released from Russian jail. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of you guys were waiting on this. And wow, that's great. That's great. You know, now, I do not know Russian law. We can all look it up. We don't know how serious Russian law is, but obviously it must be very serious because they held her for, what, 9 months, close to almost a year. She was looking at 9 years in a Russian prison. And by the way, she was transported, you know, to where she was going to spend those years not too long ago. But lo and behold, a deal was made where this individual, which I'm trying to pull up his name now, who was considered the individual who was selling arms to different countries, you know, and this, that, and the other. And a deal was made with the United States, pass him over for Brittany. Now, there are people who are saying, that's not right. That's wrong. You know, she's just an MB. She's just an athlete. She's a, come on now. He's going to be a threat to the United States. You know, you're going to give him back. Okay, well, there's another U.S. citizen that's been there much longer than Brittany. Okay? Some of you probably know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to throw it out there, and then I'm going to give you the details later. But this individual was disappointed, but he's glad that she's, you know, free. He's disappointed that he was not part of the deal. But he probably was. But if Russia holds all the cards, what the hell can you do? Do you say, well, if you can't give us both, then we don't want either one of them? Is that what the United States was supposed to do? Because that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at what people are saying. It should have been him first. Russia holds the cards, people. They decide. They have both individuals in their possession. And if we can get one of them back, isn't that more important than which one? Janet, I want you to chime in on this and share a little bit for us.
Hold on. I'm still here if you can let me on. I was trying to go cook, but y'all got too interesting here. Now I got to stay. Everybody going to starve. They're going to have to wait for the food because y'all got to
go. Hold on a minute. I got to let my co-host. I have to let the lady of the house chime in on this story because her and I have talked about it. So, Janet, you heard what
but
I just
he,
said.
He,
I find
he,
it.
He can
I mean,
go
can find
ahead
it,
of
it.
Me. Let him go
okay.
ahead.
Well,
no. I follow protocol. I'm gonna go after the sister. I'm just saying, man. I was gonna cook, but y'all so interested.
Well, then you know what? Hold on a minute. I'm gonna let you two wait and see what you think about it. Who's gonna go first and who's gonna go second? I'm gonna go ahead with Captain Campbell, the host of Let's Talk About It, and also the late night show that we have here on the TMGN. Well, Cotton, what do you think about this? This
so,
whole Brittany Griner thing, you know, and it's a blessing that she brought home. But my question is that the thing is that where different individuals feel like the other individual, which I got to pull up his name with all due respect, but that here's what people are sharing on social media, which I'm sure you've seen, where, well, he should have been released first. But people don't understand. If Russia holds the cards, you know, the United States can just make a request and try to make a deal. And some folks say, well, she should have not been brought home. Then she should have just been left here. If we can't get both of them, you can't make a deal like that, in my opinion. What's your thoughts?
My thoughts is that I don't know who this other person is. I don't know what his crime is. But and it's unfortunate. However, like you said, they make the rules, and at the end of the day, I'm glad she's home because I feel like she shouldn't have been in prison in the first place. She shouldn't have been in jail in the first place. That's just my take on it because that's not even a real crime at the end of the day. That may be to them, but it's really not. Like, it's people murdering people that y'all don't even lock up for that long at all or at all.
Okay, but that but this is Russia now. It's not the United States.
Said,
this is Russia.
That's their rules.
their rules, but I'm sure they have people that's been murdered in their country that they don't even have locked up.
Right.
True. But they do not, but they are not, but they are not a democratic country. They're under a power rule, okay, on a dictatorship. You know, and you know, it's interesting when I listen to other shows talk about, you know, what we need to do here and where, you know, the world being this, that, and the other. It's like it will never be where the world is going to be in agreement. They're not. They have certain cultures, certain beliefs. They believe in certain ways. They believe in control, okay? And so that's never going to change, in my opinion. But I feel like, and by the way, Bring It Boy just popped up in the chat room. Hello, Bring It Boy. Thank you for chiming in. But in my opinion is that where it's stupid for people to go on social media and say, in fact, a individual who's on a TV show really went beyond what they should have said as a news anchor, called Brittany Griner a, what was it? American-hating lesbian, or something like that, or
because
that
she
type
took
of term.
A knee.
Because she took a knee. But here's the thing: many individuals call her a hater, said that, and they put it in quotes that she hates America. I have looked and looked and looked for any quote of her saying she hated America. You can't find it. She's never verbally said she hated America. She felt like they should not have to do the national anthem before a game. And I get that because if you look at the wording of the national anthem, the original wording is questionable. And I see that people are popping up on the board. People are popping up in the chat room. Thank you so much. If you have a question or comment, I see another 111 number on the board I'm going to open up, which we lovingly call secret squirrels, and get into this topic. But I've never seen anything, any quote of her saying she hates America. In fact, what I saw is that when she's saying not to be disrespectful, she said, I love my country. Hell, her dad served in the military. She wanted to be a police officer before she became a basketball star. But she felt like at that time that the national anthem should not be played prior to the games because we all know what the hell was going on in this country. Okay?
You know, Michael, so, can I say something now?
Sure, go right ahead.
Well, okay. Trevor Reed was there. I guess I think that's his name. And they said that he was spying. That's why he was locked up and in prison. Brittany got there because of cartridges that had, I guess, marijuana or something in it. I don't know, but it was two different things.
Well, she had these right. It was an oil, right, and everything.
Yeah, right.
Which here
it was legal for her to have for vaping. Right. So that was two different things. That's why they went on, and she got out because of that, not being a spy. So if we had another spy, I guess, that they could have did a trade with, Putin probably would have done that, you know. He would have agreed, but he felt it wasn't the same. So that's why he's left behind.
But they are still trying to get him out. It's a different level here because you're talking about, and keep in mind that Brittany went overseas because as a female basketball player, she makes more money overseas. The United States WNBA don't pay the women here as much as they pay overseas. So you
go
where the money
is,
right?
You know how many times Brittany probably went over there with those cartridges and no one never said anything until the war was getting ready to break out?
I don't know. It's a possibility, right? It's a possibility. But let me go ahead and open up another Secret Squirrels number here. Here's another 11111. Janet, you know you and I have experience with these things, right? So let's see who this is. And again, Bring It Boy is on the board. Bring It Boy, Boy says, not standing up before the national anthem good reason for hating America. No, I don't agree with you, Brigham Boy. I do not agree with you. I do not have to stand up for a song that really did not represent all of America at the time it was written. It didn't.
Some of the verses is racist.
Exactly. They removed some. You're singing the edited version. But no. You need to do a little bit of research on that before you come on here and sing
it.
I'm just saying, in all due respect, Bring It Boy, you need to do your research on that and read the full version of the lyrics of the national anthem. Okay? 111. I'm going to open up your mic. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, brother. How are you?
Hey.
Do you remember me?
Is this... Yeah, Mike from Singapore.
Yes,
is this Mike from Singapore?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Janet, you
yes,
remember
sir.
Mike from Singapore?
Yeah,
wow.
Definitely. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you to all of you guys, and I wish you have a great weekend to come, and, you know, so I just dialed
well,
in.
Well, Mike,
find
well, Mike
you
hold on, Mike, hold on. I got to do this. Mike, I got to do this, because it's been, what, about 3 years since you chimed in, so I got to do this in honor of you checking us out. So, you guys, welcome back. Is a person who's been on the show many a times, many years, well, for quite a while. And we haven't heard from him in about, what, maybe 4 or 5 years, Janet? Maybe 4 years. But welcome back to the show, Mike from Singapore. Hello, Mike. How you doing? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, go ahead, Mike. Good to hear you.
Yes, I mean, are you guys, can you give me a little bit of update what you guys talking about? Because I was here, and I know you were talking about national anthems and some kind of things, but what is it, open topic? Can we talk about the...
I see that you just chimed in. We were talking about the release of Brittany Griner, the WNBA star, who was over in, of course, over in Russia and was arrested, spent many months there, and then the trade-off that was made between her and a alleged arms dealer. There are people who are saying that that was a crazy trade. But, you know, here's another thing, Janet, I want to say is that you got to remember that the guy that's over there, and I'm trying to pull his name up, the family, in fact, the family members have said that they're okay with it. This guy was a former Marine. He was in the military. Okay? So,
I said his name. Thought it was Trevor Reed.
Reed?
Well, it says...
Paul Whelan.
Okay, so real quickly, I want to say is that where, okay, so, but he was a former military. I believe he was Marine. So think about it, is that when he was incarcerated there and everything that, Russia's going to know who he is. They're going to know his background. He's part of the military, right? Brittany Griner is not in the military. Now, granted, with the issues that we're dealing with now with the whole thing in Ukraine and the United States assisting Ukraine, Russia is assisting, you know, the other side and everything. So they're going to use them for political pawns. So here's where the whole thing came about, making a trade-off. And maybe many of you may not agree with me, but I think that that worked out best because here's the fact that Russia's not going to give up a former a U.S. Military person, but they'll give up a NBA star.
Well,
and I'm sure the United States is going to work out for both of them. But I'm sure the United States was trying to get both of them. But if you can get one,
they're still working on the other guy to get him out.
I know that. I'm aware of that. Of course, they're going to do that. The brother of Paul said he's happy that Brittany Griner is coming home. He has no he's not upset about it. Paul though said that he wished that the United States would get him back. And then I heard another person say that, well, there's some individuals that have to, where we have to understand, when you go over to these other countries and do business over there, you understand the risk. So here's the difference. What she did was bringing cannabis oil over, not aware. I'm not saying she was or wasn't, but if she was aware, she shouldn't have it, whatever. That's cannabis oil. He went over there as a person who is involved in the military, very much aware that he would be more spotlight than her. And when it came to the trade-off, they gave us Russia said, no, we're going to keep your military guy here. We'll give you your basketball star back. Now, doesn't that make sense?
That's because the charges are different. So if the military being charged of espionage holds a candle to, like, somebody bringing over some contraband for them, I'm going to keep the person that I think handed over a flash drive and is being charged of espionage,
right,
and is military, over this basketball player who they don't really support the basketball player. Like, they don't care about that as much. Like, that's not even a comparison.
It's not.
Well, yeah, you know, it's part of it. I'm going to go ahead and let you go ahead and speak, sir. Go right ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yes, thank you.
A big part of this is the anti-blackness that just exists in America. So you get these right-wing talking points where they just decided, well, one must have been chosen over the other. And the fact that they keep using language like left behind, as if this was a military operation and this person was left behind. No, this is an authoritarian country with a dictator who we are funding the other side of his war, a war he thought would be over in 3 weeks. What are we coming up on now? So, yeah, he's really, really mad. So he was going to do the best he could to not give up the main card, as he sees it, and gives up the WNBA player. Problem is, we got people talking about this like it's fantasy football. Well, they made a good trade or a bad trade. No, you don't dictate to somebody who has the leverage. He has all the leverage.
That's
he
what
has
I said.
Both people. So we have to make a trade. To this point earlier, Brittany's been going over there for years. She's won championships over there, made a lot of money. I'm assuming this was something that normally they look the other way, but the war kicked off.
Yep.
She's a victim of bad timing, basically. She went over there at the wrong time, right when everything kicked off, and then she became a political pawn that they would use. But these people bad faith arguments about the Marine and everything else. What they're really saying is, well, she hates America, and this black woman that. What they're really saying is they don't like black people, and they're using anything they can to justify this faulty reasoning for this argument, because it's a BS argument. No one can dictate to somebody else when they have the hostage. You're trying to make a deal. That's all. So, yeah. Great.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I just said, and I'm thanking you for confirming what I just said. When I look at what people are posting on social media and the hatred, they're like, you know, well, they're saying that here's this. They said this pot smoking lesbian American hater. I mean, they really threw it at her, and like, well, she said she hates America. And they put it in quotes, and I'm like, okay, let me look at that. And I looked at the interview that she had. I read the whole damn thing. She never said she hates America. She never said that. Someone else used that on one of those political platforms. Britney hates America. Even Donald Trump said. She just said that,
right,
she don't believe
Can I finish?
She don't believe in kneeling for the national anthem due to, if you recall, and we're talking about a few years back, of when, you know, athletes started standing up. Hell, even recently, a soccer team did not even do their own country's national anthem. Y'all heard about that shit? They didn't even sing it at their own soccer FIFA thing in defiance of their country. Go ahead, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was just going to say, like, the bad faith talking points that come from the right, we got to understand another thing, too. This so-called idea of patriotism means you just line up behind the flag and whatever happens, you just agree with your country and you say you love your country. It's like, no, that's not actually love. That's subservience. That's authoritarianism.
Right.
American patriotism is, I love my country, but I will criticize it for things it does wrong. That's what an actual citizen does. And this idea that you try to muddy the waters and make somebody's legitimate criticism of something that happens in America into, oh, that person hates America. Like, what is that? That's not even a functional
Correct.
Relationship with you and your country. You know what I mean?
Correct. No, I mean, I agree with you. That is totally wrong. Because, right, this is a democracy. This is a land of free, home of the brave, let's say. Well, you should be able to speak up when you see something wrong. And that's what she did. She said at that time, and if you guys think about it, I think that interview was in 2020, where they talked to her, and they have it in quotes. Never did Brittany Griner say she hates America. They took the fact that she said she felt like that the national anthem should not be sung before the games at that time because of what was going on in America. They changed the narrative. And now you look at where, now that when she got arrested and now she's being released, they're like, oh, so they made a trade for a woman who hates America? She never said she hated it. She did the best thing for her. She went overseas, which anybody has the right to do so, to make more money, because here in America, she can't make the type of money that she can make overseas as an NBA or as a basketball player. And think about it. There's a lot of businesses or a lot of things that people do for a living, Americans, that live overseas. There's a lot of people that are Americans that live overseas. You know why? Because they can make more money other than they can do here in the land of the free. Hello.
Absolutely. I'm one of them too.
And it's not that they hate America. They know that they can do better outside of this border. They know that they can live a better life. I know many people that live in other countries. Hell, some have been on this show. Janet? Penny Ford lives in Germany. She got a house in Cleveland, Ohio. Big old house there. But she don't live here in the United States. She makes her money overseas.
Well, and Mike just said it because of him, too. You know? I mean, he's over there.
Yeah, because
why
we cannot make in our own beloved country good money? Why we have to get $15 an hour? $15 an hour is nothing. We have to make $25 an hour in order to survive minimum for each person, and in order to make then you have to make it outside.
But Mike, are you still in Singapore? Are you still in Singapore?
Yes.
Okay. And where are you originally from? So our listeners who don't know you, because we know you from times that you've been on the show, but remind our listeners where you're originally from.
I am from Persia.
Okay. But you were here in the States for a short time, right?
What?
You were here in the United States for a short time or not? I thought you were here in the United States for a long time.
Because what we see
is
just discrimination.
But you've been living in Singapore for some time. And you moved to Singapore based on the business. I'm sorry, I think there's like a little delay. I think there's a little bit of a delay in our conversation, so I'm going to let you go ahead and finish so everybody can hear you. Go right ahead,
Mike. Yeah, there is discrimination in USA. They fire you from the job. Even you do a great job, they fire you, and as a result, you know, you're fed up. You're fed up. Because they base you on your color of your skin. You are black, you'll get fired. You are Persian, you get fired. You are Arabs, you get fired. These are you get fired.
Okay.
So yes, of course, we get set up. And now we have no problem. They appreciate us. And managers, everything, everybody, they take care of us. And we are a member of one family pretty much in Singapore. And we have a good food, good everything, and we have no problem. No discrimination.
Okay, hold on a minute, Mike, hold on just a second. Your audio is sounding a little bit muffled. I don't know if you can get it clear for us. We truly appreciate it. Just see if you can get your audio a little bit clearer for us. I'm going to look at the board, and I'm going to come back to you, Mike. I appreciate that. I'm looking at the board. Bring it, boy. Again, he said that not standing up for the national anthem, good reason for hating America. Then he said, Russia said pick one, either Ms. Greiner or Trevor. Is that true? You put this in a question. Okay. No, Mike, that was not true. Russia would never... I mean, common sense should tell anybody, you know, when they have, you know, come on, man. They got both the cards. Okay, somebody got some noise in the background. Put yourself on mute, please. Put yourself on mute. I really don't want to go through trying to find out who it is. Quickly, put yourself on mute. Go through the board and find out who this is. Somebody got some noise. I'm going to just mute a few folks. All right, I think I know who it is. All right, so, bring it, boy. Russia did not make it a choice between the two. I do not believe that. I doubt that very seriously. I think Russia probably wanted more out of the deal. Because you got to keep in mind that this is what they do. This is the game that is played. You know, we're talking about human lives and everything. I don't think that Russia said pick one of the two. Totally different.
Yeah, Brittany's life is not as important to them as the Marine, as the military guy.
Correct.
I don't mean saying. So why would that even be a concern? This is where the media and the news make a difficult society because they start spitting out stuff that doesn't even make any sense. That's like comparing a child to an adult. It's not the same. It's not. I would more likely give this kid back to their parents than I would the adult because the adult would be more harmful to me than the child. So yeah, it just doesn't make any sense, and this is why people are online saying this stuff because when you don't know the whole story, because like you guys were saying earlier, the media and most people only read the headline, like read the whole story and find out like really what's going on at the end of the day. So this Marine, because I read some of his story, they can get more if they hold him longer from the United States than if they don't.
And his own family understood the reason why he was left behind, you know? And it's not like they're not trying to get him out. They're still working on it.
Exactly. And, you know, Russia's going to – they're holding him on purpose because they want to use him for his leverage. there's
That's
something
right.
that they want mm-hmm. to be able to use
hey.
That military man for as leverage.
Okay, so look, you guys, I see the board is still filling up. There's people still here, but we definitely have to take a break real quick. We're going to take a holiday music break. I don't recall if I played this last week, but I'm going to play it again if I did. I see some more hands are waving. I'm going to open up your mics when we come back from our music break. I see a lot of folks here on the chat room, a lot of folks in the call-in log, and you know all you have to do is hit the number one if you want to chime into the conversation. We might do a 30 minutes overtime because we have a lot of other topics we did not get to. So we might do a little overtime here on TMTS. I appreciate and love you guys. You're listening to the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Let's go ahead and take a quick holiday music break. This is Solo with one of my favorite holiday songs. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, on the TMGN Network, the Michael Gay Network. That was Solo, and if you guys don't remember who they are, Solo brought you songs like Where Do You Want Me to Put It, and oh, wow. Produced by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, and they're back. And that song is called This Time of Year. We Can Never Love Too Much in This Holiday Spirit. Wow. Awesome song. Okay, so let's get back to the topic at hand, and then we're going to move forward. But let's wrap it up. With this whole thing with Brittany Griner, in my opinion, and I'm going to let you guys share yours, in my opinion, I think the Biden administration did what they could to bring one hostage home. If you can't bring home one, then you failed. And again, which has already been shared, and I see some folks who have posted in the chat room, Bring It Boy says, people are falsely outraged over this swap. Where was the outrage when President Barack Obama released five Taliban commanders from Guantanamo Bay prison in exchange for an American deserter in 2014? Okay. Interesting point, Bring It Boy. Okay, thank you. I wasn't clear about Russia. Say choose. Cool, appreciate it. I'm just reading what he posted. I'm with you on that thought, one life being more important than the other. There is no such thing. Every life is important. Putin might be evil, but he's not stupid. A lot of this is payback for Biden funding the Ukrainians. That's a good point, too. You know, and then you have to remember the Iranians are working with the Russian forces, too, with the war that's going on. So when you're talking about being this where the world can be healed, it's not going to get healed because you're always going to have some pushback. You're always going to have individuals who want to have power and control over other countries and feel like we need to take over that, you know. So I want to go to Janet Davis, the lady of the house, as we wrap up this topic. I'm going to go down the board and let everybody chime in on what's your thoughts about this, your final thoughts about Brittany Griner being released. I think it's awesome. I think that the administration did a good job to bring back at least one American hostage who was looking at many years behind foreign bars, prison bars.
Well, like I said earlier, they were not just trying to get Brittany back. They was trying to get both of them back. But if you got Putin is holding the cards, you know, and so they were just happy to be able just to get her, you know, and I know eventually the other guy will be coming home, you know.
But let's remember this, though. But let's remember this. The trade-off was an alleged arms dealer who was dealing arms to different countries. We can't let that go. To harm Americans. But let me finish what I'm saying. That the trade-off was a person that the United States arrested because he was allegedly, according to the United States, was a arms dealer who was selling arms to different countries that would harm Americans. People have fear that now that he's back on Russian soil, he can go back to his usual job. That's what people are thinking. So I think that's what the problem. Some folks who felt like the trade was not good is that here's this individual who is an arms dealer. He's not a murderer.
And you don't think
that
they're going to be watching him if he comes back over here or somewhere around the United States? You don't think the government is not going to be watching him?
I don't think that it's a fear of him coming back here. It's a fear of him having the knowledge and the experience of what he was doing, allegedly doing, and that now he's back home, he's able to share his knowledge with those, you know, with Russia of what he was doing there and getting it started back up. I think that's the fear that people are looking at in this trade. But I don't think he's going to be able to just crank up all of a sudden, and we're looking at him being a terrorist threat to the United States or any other country immediately. I don't think so. That's just my point of view. That's just my thoughts. Let me see if anybody else wants to chime in on it. So I see a number pop up on the board, and you know I know who you are. Hit the number one when you're ready to chime in. All right. On the I'm sorry, in the chat room, I see a new name here, Roll Tide Dolls. Okay, welcome, Roll Tide Dolls. Putin might be evil, but he's not stupid. A lot of this is payback for Biden funding the Ukrainians. Interesting point. What's anybody's thoughts on that? No one has anything to say?
There's probably some validity to that, you know, because he wants leverage. And I know Putin doesn't like the fact that the Americans, we're not in the war, but we're helping to fund the war. It's the same with him getting Iran, or whatever you want to call it, to help him with the drones and everything that they're using. And,
well, we are,
you know,
we are,
so
in my opinion, we are in a war. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're supplying, whether you're Iran, whether you're the United States, you are part of that war. You are in that war. Even though if you're supplying stuff, you're part of that war. Okay, so to me, we are in a war with the adversary. I mean, I don't care what people may think, but that's the reality of it. If a person comes to me and say, "Hey, Mike, I need $100 to do this," I'm supplying them to whatever they're doing. I'm supplying them some way or another to whatever they're doing, especially if I'm aware of it. Hey, man, I can't go there with you, but I'll give you the money to do what you got to do. Okay, cool. I need $100. I'm just saying hypothetically, but that's the reality of it. Everybody knows that the United States is helping Iran. Everybody, I'm sorry, Ukraine.
It's not just the United
everybody
States.
Knows that.
NATO.
Janet, I know that, but United States is part of NATO, right? And we get that. We are supplying.
NATO
we are helping.
NATO is doing it, not just the United States, all of NATO.
We are, Janet, we're not going to debate that, but I'm saying NATO, United States, the things that we have that other countries don't have, which is part of NATO, we are contributing to the whole thing. Right, there's other countries, but we are contributing. So, and when you look at it where, you know, the other countries that are part of NATO don't have the power like we do, don't have the reinforcements like we do, don't have the equipment. They may put forward some of the money to help out on certain things or purchase certain things to help Ukraine as far as getting food and aid and everything. But military-wise, the United States is dependent on. Weapon-wise, United States is dependent on. That's what I think. Okay, so that's where we stand.
That's your opinion.
It is a war going on between these countries through other countries. That's my opinion.
Right. It's a traditional proxy war. This is what happens. And to the previous point, just knowing these personalities, can you imagine how many times Putin been hung up on Biden during these negotiations, screamed into the phone, cursing and everything else? Because, like, remember, the Russians thought this war would be over in 3 weeks.
That's right.
Months into right. the steel because of the funding from us. So
how many weeks
have
it been? I'm not going to ask you how many weeks have it been? If you break it down, how many weeks? We are going to calculate it based on what they said. 3 weeks. How many weeks have it been now?
I think we're almost to a year. I think we're almost to a year now.
Yeah.
Because Brittany was locked up for nine months.
So how many
months.
Weeks are in
Hers
a year?
Was right before.
How many weeks are 52. In a year?
52.
No, it's 52. Okay, right. 52 weeks. They said in 3 weeks. 52 weeks. Right?
That's tough.
Just do the math. All I'm saying, just do the math. That was their statement. That was their quote. That's what they told their people. And that's another thing. What amazes me is that when you're dealing with countries that have dictatorship, you really don't know what the individuals that live there think, because you can't talk to them. They don't want to talk because they're in fear of their lives. They speak out how they really feel. You know, their news, that government tells them what is shared with them. Here in the United States, of course, we have open and we have our choices of what we're going to listen to and believe. We listen to, you know, as Donald Trump says, fake news, real news, whatever. But you have choices. But in China and Russia, it's government news. It's flat out what the dictator wants you to hear. Think about that. And that's all they get.
Yeah. Yes, it's not out of the realm of possibilities if you're a Russian reporter for you to be found somewhere or never seen again after you write or say the wrong thing. So you know, that's a reality. But like, just getting to this, it's difficult to talk about these things when people have these ready-made talking points that they roll out, and then they yell about them as if they really believe them. So when these people are calling her an American hater and all this other stuff, it gets us beyond the real conversation I'm having of saying, wow, this is a messed up thing that sports in America is so sexist that Americans typically don't sign up to watch professional women's sports, to the point to where Britney and others in WNBA go overseas and make way more money because those people still are willing to watch it. But over here, we don't show that same interest towards those women. They've been trying to build that thing for like 30 years.
That you know what? You are definitely on point, because here's the thing. Even recording artists that I know and I've talked to, a lot of them make more money. Well, I already mentioned one. Make more money because they're more respected and received in other countries. Why? I don't know. I guess here it's like, well, you're a one-hit wonder, or you're known for a little while, and all of a sudden they're done. They wash their hands from you. They move on to the next big superstar. Which Janet will tell you, we've had conversations with certain artists on the show and asked them, what is the difference between, you know, performing here in the States and overseas? Some have said there's a big difference. The crowds overseas are just totally different. They're ecstatic. There are artists that I know that go over and book, you know, week to week, month to month, singing some of the same old songs. Maybe introduce a couple of new songs, but the crowd loves them. And to me, it's like, it's really crazy. How can American artists can be booked here and not sell out, but they can go overseas and there's a sea of people there cheering them on? That just boggles the mind to me. So with that being said, let's move forward to another topic. As we have about 15 minutes left in our scheduled show, but I did go ahead and add a little bit more time just when we go over, because I definitely want you guys to know that we can continue to talk here on among ourselves here on the phone lines, but it's not being documented on Blog Talk. So I went ahead and make sure that everything that we talk about is documented and shared on Blog Talk. And, of course, the TMGS, all the shows are broadcast and always available on Spotify, Alexa, you name it. Every show that we do, you can find us on various platforms, okay? So they're always archived, and you can always come back and listen to them. So are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, fantastic. All right, so I'm trying to look at and I apologize, you guys. I'm trying to look at itinerary here, because we did go long on those certain topics. Okay, so we did Brittany Griner. Oh, wow. There's so much more that we can talk about, but I definitely want to bring this one up and see what you guys think. Does anyone remember the young lady who was shot and killed while she was babysitting, and the officer shot through the window and killed her because the door was open? A neighbor noticed the door was open at the house. Anybody remember that story?
Vaguely. No, so many stories like that. So, yeah, it's a little difficult.
Okay, so this was actually at Taliana Jefferson.
Yes.
She was the one that was in the house. Right. So now some of you remember. Okay, this happened about 2 years ago, roughly 2 years ago. I have to pull up the story. Thank you, Janet, for sharing that with me, but I have to pull up the story. But the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because the case is actually happening now. You know, I always say that we're going to follow up on these cases. Unfortunately, we hear about it when it happens, but we don't know when they go to trial. And this is actually on trial, and you can watch it on Court TV, okay? And I want to say quickly, when it comes to reality for me, I watch Court TV. I do. I watch the trials there because the cameras are in a real courtroom. You're going to hear a real case. That's what you're going to listen to. It's not a TV show. It's real. And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at where the gentleman who called in on this case, the young boy who was there in the room when she got shot, all testified this past week. So I recommend, if you want to follow on these cases that we heard about years ago, what's the outcome, go to Court TV, you can see it. I think it's very important for us to follow up on these type of cases. As I said, some of you guys heard about these cases, right?
Yes.
Okay. What I found interesting in the testimony is that where, first of all, the little boy said he don't recall hearing anything. He just saw her drop. I'm watching his testimony. He said, I just saw her drop. Then I see where the officer, the assistant officer, not the one who shot her, but the one who was with him, which is Officer Aaron, she can't, when she was questioned and asked, where was she when she walked in the room? Does she recall where she was standing and what she saw? And she said, I don't remember. How can you not remember where you were the night you were involved in a shooting, a person being shot by one of your own officers, co-worker? Let's keep in mind that every officer does not deal with murder every day like TV makes you think. I think I said that already. That's not reality. And talking to many officers that I know, most of them might deal with a murder 2 to 3 times a year at the most. 2 to 3 times a year. They've dealt with shootings, but it's not where everybody died. But actual murder, the average officer, depending on where they work, 2 to 3 times a year at the most. How can officers sit up there in the witness booth and say they don't recall where they were at the time of this shooting. How can she say that? So I'm asking you guys, do you believe that that testimony is true, or is she really trying to not testify against her coworker?
I think it could be true because a lot of people don't remember. This was 3 years ago, you know, so as far as all the details, I know she probably remembered the shooting, but exactly where she was, she might not recall that.
Okay.
A lot of people don't even remember what happened the next day. I mean, the day before, not the next day, the day before. You know, maybe she's got a touch of dementia.
Okay. Okay, Cotton, what's your thoughts on that? Here you're in the courtroom, or here's an officer who's testifying. The little boy testified, the man who actually called the police officer or the police, because he noticed the door was open, testified. The officer says she don't recall where she was standing at the time she came into the room. She don't remember if they said, I'm sorry, Janet, I didn't put that in when I asked you, if they announced, but according to the video, we don't hear them announce police to the individual. What's your thoughts about it?
I think in a lot of these, and for these cases, it's a code. It's a code that they keep not to divulge certain information if they think they're going to get a colleague in trouble. So, you know, she's got to deal with the ramifications of dealing with her coworkers who are police officers if she divulges too much information, like we've seen so many others get fired or there's some type of retaliation. So I think she does probably remember. I think she just doesn't want to share that information for fear of causing other issues for herself personally.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, if you guys take a look at it, because you can go back and take a look. I mean, just don't go by what I'm saying, but as I said, you know, when this first came about, I promised I was going to keep up on it, and now it's available. You can watch it live. Of course, it's the weekend, but continuation of the trial starts this Monday on Court TV. It is live, and I'm going to follow it because we have to see the outcome of these trials. We have to see it. We really do. What I found interesting also is that when the officer said she don't recall where she was and this and the other, I mean, they never announced them being police officers. And according to what has already been shared, is that where, think about it, if you hear somebody coming around your house and you have the right to own a gun, which she did go get the gun, because she's probably thinking it's someone trying to break in the house, right? She has that right. But the officer never announced who he was. In the video or the audio, I think he says, and I have to go back and look or listen, I think he says, drop it, and then shoots. Or put it down. There was a question of if she had the gun pointed at him or just in her hand to her side. There's a question of that. So here's what I'm wondering. Based on what we can see on the video, based on what we hear on the audio, and based on the fact they did not announce who they were, how would you look at this case or the outcome of this case? 816-915. I see that you're on the board. Opening up to your mic. How you doing? What's your question or comment?
Good evening, everyone. This is Lady J.
Lady J, how you doing?
Lady
Congratulations
J.
on the new network. Congratulations on the new network, my sister.
Thank you. Hey, Miss Janet.
Hey, sweetie. Yeah, congratulations.
Hey, so here's my comment. And Janet, I'm listening to you talking about how I'll forget, and we do. But guess what? She's a police officer. They're trained not to.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They're trained not to. So I'm going to agree with what Cotton said. There's that code that some they don't want to get each other in trouble. There's no way that she doesn't remember where she was. They're trained to remember everything that goes on, from the color of somebody's socks, the shoelaces, the car they were driving, the license plates, just the same way they try to tell you, if you're calling us, make sure you have a description.
Yeah, that's fact.
So I don't.
They do that on my job.
That's right.
Yeah.
She don't want to have a receipt of her saying that she was aware of where she was when it happened. Because guess what? Nobody can make her tell the truth. That's her story, and she's sticking to it.
Hmm. That's true. And you right. And you know what? I'm glad that you said that, because, see, you know, you can't charge her for anything. She's a witness to what she allegedly saw, right? And as you said, that's her story. She's going to stick to it. So then the prosecution, okay, has to prove her wrong. But how do you do that? And she says, hey, I didn't see that. There's no cameras in the house, right, to see that where she was looking this way or looking that way, or she was standing there, right? There's no cameras in the house. I'm just saying, as far as we know. So we don't know what was going on or what she was doing in the house. We don't know what part of the house. Was she in the bedroom? Was she in the kitchen? Was she standing here, you know, right inside the front door? We don't know that. Unless there is some video inside the house, or if there is a camera, a body camera showing that she was, well, you were, you know, when we show this body camera that you have, shows that you were definitely standing in this spot, and then they can prove
that's
her wrong.
Right.
So I'm kind of wondering, will that, was, and then again, the question is, did they have body cameras, and were they running? See, so there's
a lot
involved in it.
Yeah, it brings up a lot of questions. But again, I stick to my story that a police officer is trained not to forget. Because
now, let me ask you this. If there were body cam and it contradicts what she said, what do you think that would happen to her? Where she says, I don't recall this, and I don't know where I was standing and everything. If there was body cam and let's say the prosecution comes forward and say, well, here's what we see on your body cam, again, I say it, do you think that they would be able to charge her with perjury or, you know, not telling the truth? Is she having
no,
a body cam?
Not unless she doesn't stick to her story. If she changes her story, then that's going to change what happens to her. But even if a body cam comes up or some camera footage or some video comes up, if she still sticks to her script, then that's what it's going to be. How are they going to determine if she's lying because she said she doesn't remember? The footage shows, well, you were right here on the footage. Well, I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Quickly, I want to apologize to B-Wise, whatever, B-Wise, is it B-Wise? And, okay, well, I don't understand how you're spelling your name. I see you here in the chat room. I appreciate you chiming in to the show. Let's see. I see a couple of your comments here. Before we get off air, I'll definitely try to read some of them. But make them a little bit clearer. Don't chop them up as much as you have here, okay? Try to go ahead and put it all together. Go ahead. I think it was Lady Justice was speaking.
No, I think I'm done. But just, you know,
okay.
She's a police officer and she doesn't want to get in trouble. And that's the best way to keep her from telling on her partner or even really
mm-hmm.
getting herself in trouble. You know,
yep.
because always every situation, the best witness is a dead witness and your partner's alive.
Mm-hmm.
Janet, lady of the house, what do you think about this whole thing? Based on what we just talked about, you believe that that's what's happening, is that where she's just not going to turn against her partner? And, you know, keep in mind, if you guys haven't heard the case, if you have, if you don't recall it, I recommend you go back, read up on it, and look at this case as it's being broadcast live. You know, follow up. This is really an important case where this officer went to a window and shot this woman dead in front of a child.
She said she saw the silhouette of her with the gun, but I don't see anything in here where you're saying that she don't remember from the article I read and sent you.
The officer said she don't recall. The officer.
Well, that was during the court hearing?
Yes, it was during the court
hearing. That was during the
trial. Right, so. Right. No, it was during the court hearing. So if you look at where court TV records and you can go back and look at the testimony of every individual, even the little boy, I think at the time he was 8, now he's 11.
He said it's been like two, three years. Never raised a gun.
Yeah, he said that she never raised a gun.
I read all that, but I just didn't see the part where the lady said she don't remember.
The officer, she said that she don't remember when she went into the room where she was, when she saw the body, do you recall where you were standing in the room? She said she don't recall. And to me, I'm thinking when you're dealing with something like this, again, I already said that where an officer does not deal for murder every day. And when you come across one, you're going to remember that. You're going to remember a crime scene of a murder. Some officers might see a murder once a year or twice a year. You're going to remember that.
They're trying to say she was acting in self-defense because the lady had a gun.
The officer, the partner, I'm not talking about the officer who shot her. I'm talking about the partner who was the officer who was on the scene at the same time does not recall a lot of things that an officer should remember. Right, Lady Justice? You should remember that.
Well,
She remembers.
She's just saying she doesn't remember. Oh, but she remembers.
Correct.
Because when that case went public, is an officer or person, if you, just like when Michael Jackson died, where was you when Michael Jackson died? Where was you at 9/11? You know exactly what you was doing, where you was when 9/11 hit. That lady remembers exactly
mm-hmm.
what happened because that case went viral. She remembers exactly, but she's not going to say because of the situation that she's put herself in.
I remember I was on my way to work when I heard that Michael Jackson died. I remember that.
Right. We remember. Mm-hmm. Like, these are traumatic things. We remember.
9/11, I remember that night I worked overnight doing a construction at the Marriott Marquis in Atlanta. Came home, fell asleep, woke up the next morning with my TV on and saw where the planes had hit the – I remember when I saw it. I was at home, woke up and saw my TV was still on, and saw where they show on the planes hidden at. So, right, certain things like that, especially someone being killed, you should remember.
Mm-hmm.
I was laying
viral,
in my bed watching 9/11. So this officer should remember where she was standing when she walked in that room and saw a dead body. And she's saying she don't remember where she was in the room. She don't remember what was in the room is what she said.
She don't
recall what the room looks like, anything. She's saying, I don't remember. I don't recall. That's BS. And even the individuals who were watching it live said, wow, can't believe that was her testimony. She don't recall?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, then.
I bet the neighbor next door remember where they was when they was, and they wasn't even in the room. I bet they remember what they was doing when everything went down. She remembers it, too.
Mm-hmm.
We remember things.
Again,
we remember things that go on in our life that are traumatizing. How are you not going to remember that?
Right.
Come on now. I can tell you where I was. My mom got murdered. I can tell you where I was in 87 when my father took his last breath. You cannot tell me. You get paid to know that.
Mm-hmm. That's your job.
That's part of your police report.
Right.
Let's be honest. That's part of your police freaking report. When you're a murder situation, I'm sorry, I won't say a murder, a shooting, as the officer who did the shooting or the officer that was at the shooting scene, you have to write down everything you recall. Now, I'm kind of wondering now, and let's keep in mind, this is court. She testified, and I think it was based on what I think it was what the state was saying. I have to go back and see because it's going to pick up again on Monday and see was it she being questioned by the prosecution or the defense for the officer, which his last name is Aaron. You kind of wonder if they have anything to show of where, well, wait a minute. Here's the body cam. Here's your police report of what you said. But now here in court, you're saying that you don't recall this, but this is what you wrote down. You follow me? See, so sometimes things work out in a way of where, you know, the truth can come out or not. Did she lie in her police report? But she was there. She wrote down something. She had to.
Mm-hmm.
If they work it out, she had to write a report. She can't say, I mean, the night it happens, she can't say the moment she goes back to the station, you know what just happened? I don't remember shit. She can't say that. She had to write down something. And then in the court, two or three years later, right, I'm just being honest,
mm-hmm.
you can't contradict what you wrote down.
Yep.
They gonna find him. That body cam ain't never showing up. It was broken.
Well,
it was faulty. Watch.
Right.
No, well,
I think what he's banking on is
I gotta tell y'all to look at it. It shows his body cam. You can see his body cam. You can see where when he went to that window. You can see when he went to that back door area. It shows you what was in the backyard and everything. They never announced that they were police officers. He went up. It shows you. The camera shows you every damn thing, his whole thing that he did. His body cam shows you. And he went to that window, and allegedly he saw a person standing there with a gun, and he never announced police. They never said anything. He said, I think it was drop it or something like that. She just had it in her hand. She wasn't pointing it at him. And all of a sudden, he just opened fire and killed her. And the little boy who testified said he don't remember hearing nothing. All he remembers is seeing her fall after she was shot.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying on this show, when we talk about these things, we need to follow up on the court cases. What's the outcome? I keep saying this, and I make it a promise. I'm going to follow up. I'm watching the cases. And we have to look at it because we have to look at where whatever the outcome is or the verdict is, it's going to definitely let you know what to expect in law enforcement moving forward of how the judicial system treats these type of cases. And if you don't pay attention to it, you're going to be lost as shit. You got to watch them.
Right.
And then if it doesn't come out to where it's correct according to the law, you have to bring your voice out of where, wait a minute, I looked at this video and you telling me this person is innocent? Granted, maybe he didn't mean to kill her, but still, that's involuntary manslaughter. There still should be a charge.
That's right.
Maybe you didn't mean to do it.
First place. That's the part.
Right.
You could have never fired your gun. There was no reason
to. Thing is that, but see, that tells you something about the way law enforcement is trained. Shoot first, ask questions later. I understand being a law enforcement officer is a dangerous job, but you don't have the right to kill a person and then the judge or the jury says, oh, well, that's justifiable homicide, when I'm looking at a video where this person is trying to protect their family in their home. This woman heard a noise. She grabbed a gun. She had the right to own a gun. It's on personal property. She gets shot and killed. And now you want to say it's justifiable because she had a gun. She's on her property, and you never announced that you were police.
And
that's
you probably weren't even supposed to be. They weren't even supposed to be there, were they?
Someone saw the door open. Okay. They were cooking hamburgers.
Oh, that's right.
The little boy
that's
was
right.
cooking
that's
hamburgers.
Right.
The little boy. Now, and that's what really hurts me to my heart. That they were trying to cook. And I'm sure that they laugh and shit, in my opinion. The fact that you burned the burgers. Oh, well, I was trying to. You know, they probably had a little laugh about it. And they opened up the windows and the door to let the smoke out. Hell, I don't burn shit before. I think all of us have. It opened up your windows and doors. Your alarm goes off, you know, your smoke detector and shit. But you never expect the cops to come flying at your house unannounced. A neighbor saw the door open, by the way, which was a black individual, and called the cops.
I remember that. Because he could have just walked over there to himself to see instead of calling the police.
But he thought
that was
the
worst. That was my thought process. Why don't you go knock on the door and see what's going on?
Right. He thought the worst. Okay. He thought it might have been a robbery or whatever. But you know they always say, don't call the cops every time you think something is wrong. I've heard that many a times. Because it's going to be even worse if you call the cops. Right? And he did. He called them. And he said, I recall back when this first happened, he said he is heartbroken. He can't sleep because he feels responsible for the death of her.
He's responsible because he should have walked his behind over there to check instead of calling the police.
Mm-hmm.
As the third neighbor.
Yep, that's what we do. Hey, you all right in there? Oh, okay.
Correct. But then again, you have some that feel like, I got to call law because I feel like there's something wrong. I don't want to take the responsibility. Well, if you took the responsibility to be concerned, you need to step it up.
That's right.
If he owned the
That's
gun,
right.
if he owned the gun, okay, if he owned the gun and he felt like maybe the house was being broken into,
And I'm just being honest. We're talking about this is early in the morning. It's dark outside. Me personally, if I knew the neighbor's number, I would have called him, but obviously I guess he didn't. But I would have grabbed my gun. I would have walked across the street. I wouldn't have walked right up to the front door, to be honest. I would have stood back and take a look to see, is there any movement in the house? Am I hearing any voices? Am I seeing anything? You're right. Am I seeing anything going on that is like, you know, someone rummaging through the house? You know what I'm saying? You think on those terms, but not everybody thinks of what I do. Because if it was a burglary, you would have heard something or you would have seen some shadows moving around. Because a burglar is going to move around quickly and get the hell out. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if it was quiet, I would have been listening to hear if I hear any voices. Differentiation, is it a female voice, a male voice, whatever the case is. If someone, can I see through the windows or whatever? You would do that. I'm just saying I would. But I would not call the cops and say, hey, look, I see a door open. People open up their doors a lot of time and leave them open.
Right.
So, yeah, he was, I mean, I understand what he was trying to do, but he didn't understand the situation in order to make that phone call to the police.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to see this guy because I feel like there is something more to what he's than that. I don't think he was doing it out of concern.
I recommend this, and
because why call? Like,
so
why even call if you don't really know what's going on? If you haven't seen anything out of order, or you don't hear anybody screaming, or you don't hear any ruckus going on, why even bother to call the police?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you've seen all the things that they've done over the past, especially over the past since a couple of years, where they're shooting, period.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason. Like, why bother? That it just doesn't feel right on his part.
And now he's somewhat older black gentleman. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lady Justice.
That was one of my
what were you saying?
Like, what made him decide that he was going to call the police? Was there some previous or prior fights or arguments than before that made him say, hey, this time I'm calling the police?
Right.
That's a question that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you this. If you, and as I said, I'm starting to follow this trial more. I haven't had a chance to really watch every testimony, but he did come to the witness stand. He was questioned. Everything that on every trial is available for you to watch, and you can hear his testimony. I'm going to go back and watch a few of them because I feel like that, again, and I hate to repeat myself, when we see these type of things happen right when they happen, we respond immediately. We already know, right? But now when it comes to the court case, unfortunately, we don't follow up. I'm going to follow up, y'all. I'm going to watch this trial. I want to see what the testimony is. I want to see what the evidence is. I want to see how they're going to say this officer, which his last name is Aaron, I think, is found not guilty or guilty, either way, of whatever the charge is. If there's a charge, which I believe is, it's not murder. It's involuntary manslaughter, I think is what they're charging him with. You know, not voluntary. That's what I think. But I have to go back and look at it. But we have to follow up on these things. We must see the outcome because the outcome of these cases is definitely going to make an effect we see in the future. That's all I'm saying. With any case that happens, the police involved shootings, the outcomes, the verdicts, is really going to make a difference on what's going to happen in the future of more shootings by police officers. You guys need to really pay attention to it, in my opinion.
That's what I'm looking at. This happened 2-3 years ago. I'm sorry?
That's what made me ask the question in the first place, because I was watching it. I was watching the court case, because that's what I do. I watch court TV. I'm on all the judge shows. I need to be, and I need to know what's going on. I was getting my hair done, so I was paying attention. And what really puzzled me about it was that he was in the backyard, and if you're in the backyard in the back window, you should be hearing some kind of scuffling or some kind of noise back there for you to even have to shoot.
Yep.
You know, and the thing is that if you get a phone call from someone saying that, I see a door open at a house, that's not normal. Okay. I'm not an officer. I can't speak on their behalf. But the thing is that where you don't go around to the backyard, in my opinion. First of all, you don't know why the door is open. You don't know if someone's in the house. You know, now, granted, the lights are on. You're coming around. You see toys in the backyard. So obviously you should know that there's kids there, or there could be the possibility of children there on the premises if you see toys, right? And, again, when you look at the video, his body cam, you don't hear any noise. You don't hear any scuffling. You don't hear any arguing or anything, right? If there's an arguing going on, you could figure that, okay, this might be a domestic situation, right? Someone is upset, I'm hearing a couple arguing and this and the other. Still, and again, you don't use lethal force, okay? But you go to a window. Why did you go to a window to look in a window? Why did you not make your announcement at the front door, from a safe distance? Hey, I see your door open. This is such and such police. What's going on in there?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Why didn't you do that? Why do you have to be MacGyver, you know, or whatever, some kind of detective, come around the back area, and the person sees your flashlights or hears you on their deck, so they're defending themselves because you have not said who the hell you are.
Mm-hmm.
I think had they announced who they were, you know, had their radios on, because, you know, officers have their radios on. They probably shut them off so you can hear 4-4-5-5-5-7-7-8-9-4. You will hear that shit, right?
Right.
But they're thinking, but this officer is thinking, oh, this is a robbery thing. Someone done broke in this house. He pulls out his gun, a lethal weapon. Even if it was a robbery, you didn't go about this right, Officer Aaron. You didn't go about this right. Even if it was a robbery, you murdered somebody who was trying to protect not only the property, but the little boy who was there that was cooking hamburgers.
He went
That's
about it
happened.
All wrong.
Yep.
He could have posted up. If he thought it was a robbery, he could have posted up. Just watched the perpetrator until he came out of the house. You didn't hear nothing. Or
right.
That's a good point.
You could have went to the front door and knock, knock, knock. This is the police. The door was open. You could have got access. So he could have entering the house because the door was open.
Correct.
But he didn't do that.
He didn't have to have a search warrant. Right. He didn't have to have a search warrant at that point.
That's
because
right,
based on the
open,
fact that if you did, right, based on the fact that the door is open, he didn't have, there was no one there to say you can or cannot enter. So this is a point of where he has to look at it, where the safety of whoever's inside of the home. Okay.
That's
but again, I believe that this woman would have been alive had they just announced who they were. how they would say, police officers, is everybody okay? I need an answer. Everybody all right? Your front door's open. You got a call. Your door's open. It's a welfare check. Everything okay? And I'm pretty sure she would have said, oh, yeah, we're fine. Yeah, we opened up the door because it was smoky in here. Oh, okay, we were concerned because someone called up the street. They saw your door open. This would have never happened had they announced themselves as police officers.
That's right.
And I'm just being honest. If you look at the whole story,
that's
where law enforcement fails. You can't just go up on a person's porch, okay, unless you're the FBI, okay, or whatever. But even then, if you have a warrant and that door is locked, even when they start kicking in the door and everything, you know what they say? Police officers, open up the door. They announce themselves. FBI.
Because they don't want.
They want to let you know that we are law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
They want to let you know this ain't no break-in from, you know, just someone that's, you know, just trying to break into homes and everything. Now, granted, there are individuals who pose as law enforcement and everything. But if you're smart enough to know, I mean, common sense would tell you, you kind of should understand how law enforcement works. If you want it by law enforcement, you're going to answer to them.
That's right.
Right.
You're going to answer. If you know your door is getting kicked down and they say, you know, FBI or whatever, you know that I knew they were coming. But in this case, with this young lady at home babysitting, and you don't even give her the opportunity to let her know who is trying to contact her. She's protecting her home and a child.
Yep.
And you creeping on her back. You creeping on her back porch. Yeah, if I hear some creaking and everything on my back deck, I'm grabbing my gun.
That's right.
Because most of my guests come to my front door. Ain't nobody coming up to my back door. For what?
My front door is open.
So, yeah, I'm grabbing my teeth. And my friends are not going to look through my damn window.
That's right.
Because, yeah, I'm looking through my window because my window is close to my back deck so I can take a peek and see who's on my back deck. But if here's a person standing here with a gun, yeah. And then all of a sudden, they start shooting. Now I'm dead. What did I do wrong?
You know that
I was protecting my
home. The fact that they
I have to let the lady of the house, Janet Davis. I know she's been sitting back listening. She's still on the board, and we're gonna go ahead and wrap up the show. But you know, this is crazy. It's crazy what's going on. And again, I have to say, you guys, follow this case. We're going to talk about it again. I'm following this and many other cases. By the way, one of the officers that was involved in the George Floyd murder, he was found guilty. He's looking at 3 to 5 years. You know, so we have to look at that. And we have to make that known. Have to make it known that being law enforcement does not give you the right to commit murder. Okay, so I don't know if you guys know it, but yeah, he was sentenced to 3 to 5 years, which will run concurrent. I'm sorry?
What were the charges?
What did you say? Oh, for the fact that, you know, when he held George Floyd down, held his back down, accessory, I think it was,
okay,
to the murder.
Okay.
Look it up. I'm gonna start documenting a lot of this stuff more so. Okay.
Even though
Janet, are you still here?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, Lady Justice. I want to get the lady of the house to chime in.
Okay.
What's your thoughts about that?
No,
about
I
the
haven't.
Young lady. Are you falling
well,
asleep
I don't
on
have,
those?
I don't have anything else to say.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we had a great show, a great conversation. We had a lot of folks on the board. Of course, you know, I ran a little bit longer. Not everybody could stay longer. But I appreciate everyone who called in this evening, especially all the co-hosts. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Cotton Campbell. Thank you for chiming in, and I definitely want you to share what you got coming up here on the TMGN with, you know, basically you got some stuff happening here that is just blowing up. Go ahead and let us know the time, the same bat time, the same bat channel here on TMGN.
Oh, of course. You know, first we have the open mic night with the softest voice in poetry, which is myself. Open mic late night every first and third Wednesday of the month. And then we have the infamous Let's Talk About It with the ladies of TMGN, including myself. And our next show actually is going to be on the 15th, and Let's Talk About It. And we will be discussing toxic behavior is what we're we end up normalizing toxic behavior. So that's our next topic that's coming up. And that and the time has changed. So it's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Pacific.
I think I got those times right.
Okay.
I think I got the
times
right this time.
Yeah, it's funny where when you deal with, you know, because you got Mountain Time, you got Pacific Time, you got Central Time, you got Eastern Time, right. It varies. I know what you're talking about. It's kind of crazy when you're reaching out to folks who know what to listen to. But as long as you got the Eastern and the Pacific time, people between there, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
they've done it a long time.
So it's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So just so you know. And if you can go from there.
So just do right. Do your research, you know, do your research of what time zones are. You'll get it right. Lady Justice, congratulations. I think you have that. You have a new network that you're starting through Ruco. Am I right?
You are correct.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you so
much. Roku, I'm sorry. All right. Give us a little information about what we should expect when you come on here. We'd like to support you.
So what you should expect is kind of a spinoff of what we're already doing on these two shows. I'm going to say it, and I'm not politically correct, and I'm not trying to be, but I'm going to be the Black Nancy Grace. So
okay.
We'll have a day where we'll be Black Nancy Grace, and then we'll have a day where we'll be the female version of Mr. Rogers, the up-to-date version. We will also feature different upcoming and growing entrepreneurs with whatever they're doing. So with my best friend, Cotton Campbell, she does talk shows, she does poetry, but she also is an author. She makes glasses. And I want to feature those things as commercials on the TV network. So I'm
okay.
Also going to be
fantastic.
Other people as I do that.
All right. Congratulations. You know, I looked at that and I was like, but financially I couldn't do it at the moment. But no, that's a great thing to do because now a lot of people have Ruco televisions or they have a regular television and they buy the Roku device. So, yeah, that's where it's really going, where there's a lot of competition between Roku and Apple TV. They're taking over the networks. By the way, I have to say this. Cable television is going to be out of style soon, right?
Yes.
It's obvious. If you got the internet, you got Roku, you got Apple and everything, you can connect to whatever you want. You can upload whatever you want. AT&T, UVerse, all of them are really feeling the pinch. You know what I'm saying? Cable television is about to fall. And so everybody is dealing with other networks and everything. And even with YouTube is oversaturated. So for everybody that's listening, you know, look at these other avenues that are really, which I know that Roku now, where I work at, they got, they got monitors, they got cameras, they got all kinds of stuff under the Roku brand, and they're really, you know, shocking the world with a lot of product that is going to work. I mean, outside cameras, indoor cameras, everything. So take a look at that. Do your research again. I always say that. Do your research. There's stuff that's coming up through the pipeline you're not aware of, and just do that. It's much more affordable, and it's probably going to be something that you want to work with. Congratulations again, my sister. I truly appreciate you calling in this evening. And this conversation has been very deep. I'm looking at the people who chimed into the chat room. I want to thank them. Some are still here. Some have left. But hopefully you'll be back next Saturday. Because here on the TMGS, you know, thanks to all, you know, the co-hosts and everything, we are that variety show. We talk about everything. We try to remind you about things that you probably heard about maybe 2 or 3 years ago under investigation, everything. We keep that in mind. We look at what's happening with that, as you well know. Thank God we have some great recording artists on. I mean, it could be new school. It could be old school, but we bring them to you. And that's what we want to do. We want to educate and take a time out to share with you of what's going on, not just in, you know, just some communities, but many. That's what we do. And that's what we're going to continue to do. Any final things that anyone want to say before we get off the air for tonight and come back tomorrow? And I'm going to put the mic in the lady of the house, Janet Davis. She's been so much a supporter, and more than a supporter, she's been the individual who has done so much for the build of the network for many years before the Michael Gay Network. Back when it was the Michael Gay Show, back when we were on King's, on Blog Talk Radio with the J. King Network and everything. So, Janet, any final words for us as we get into this?
Yes, I just wanted, you were mentioning about Roku, whatever, but if you have an internet, if you have internet, you can stream, and it's a lot cheaper, and you get a lot more. You know, there's some things you only pay like $29 for a whole year, and you get over 10,000 different things that you can look at.
That's right.
Exactly. That's true. Okay. I think I went around the board with everybody to share what they have to do, so we're going to what they have to offer. So you guys that are listening, please chime into, of course, the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. Make sure you follow Lady J, Lady Justice. We're going to definitely promote more information of when, you know, her Roku channel launches. Of course, Cotton Campbell, who's everywhere on all kinds of networks and always sharing great things in the entertainment field. So with that being said, yours truly, Michael Gay, wishes you a great night. God bless you. And you know what? Next week, we're going to talk about a little bit more about holiday season. What does it mean to you? Christmas, what does it mean to you? And can we do individually for each other to share the love? All right? Individually, what can we do to share the love? Because there's a lot of people that have a lot of hatred, unfortunately. But I'm thankful that I know a lot of folks that have a lot of love, and I truly appreciate them. So I'm trying to find a particular song, and I apologize. I'm trying to find a particular song here I want to close out with, and I think I will find it in just a moment. Okay.
Hey, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. I think I found it.
Did you get to hear
me? Go ahead.
Did you sing on the open mic night?
I'm sorry. Say that again. I didn't hear that.
Did you get to hear me sing on open mic night?
No, I didn't hear you. I was at work.
You better go back and listen to it. You missed it.
I promise I will do so. I promise I will. You know, I thought I had this song on the board by Alexander O'Neill, but I'm going to go ahead and play this as we get out of here. I'm going to try one more time, okay, to find this song. But you know, I'm going to end it. All right, you guys, thank you so much. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your week. Happy holidays. Every week we're going to always play some great holiday music. Good night. God bless. happy holidays, and thank you for listening to the TMDS, the Michael Day Show. God bless. Good night.